podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hi there, and welcome to Scout the Game Week. Scout the Game Week is Fantasy Football Scout's weekly podcast brought to you by the Scout Network. In each episode, we'll look back at the game week we have just played to assess what we can learn to help us in the next round of fixtures. I'm your host, Ryan, from Football Chatbox. Let's scout the game week. This week, I'm joined by one of the co-hosts of the FPL Under the Radar podcast, FPL Wrangler. It's great to have you on. How are you doing and how is your season going so far?
Hi, Ryan. Thank you very much for having me on. I'm doing good. And my season, it actually had a very rough start. So like until game week 7 or 8, I was like in the like 4 millions or so. It was very, very rough. Then I gradually started picking up, but still it was not like, you know, up to my expectation. Like even until game week 17 or 18, I was like over the millions, you know. But try to be patient, you know, didn't try to have any like, you know, rash decision or basically didn't go for differential for the sake of differential, you know. So thought to be patient, thought luck is going to come. So very recently, you know, went kind of in the positive side of variance. So it's very like last 2 or 3 game weeks, not the last like 33, but yeah. 34 or 31, it was good. So just reached into the 100K very recently. But again, 2 days after the Chelsea game, is just after the 101.
That's fine. Still close there.
It's still close there. So, but yeah, I mean, so far, I think good. Given the start I had, now the expectation I just managed, you know, I mean, previously, whenever I started the season, I thought top 10K, like as other people think as well. But now I think top 100K or even 50K would be even way more than whatever I expect. But 100K would be good if I can maintain.
Fair enough. Yeah, because once you get into the 100K as well, the challenge is to maintain it and also try and climb as well. It's not easy as always.
Yeah, it's very difficult. I mean, even, you know, whenever I was in the millions, you know, I mean, I was actually struggling a lot, to be honest. I was sitting there for a long time. And people are like, you know, there are more engaged managers nowadays, right? So it's very tough, to be honest. But again, I mean, I was able to manage very recently. So let's see how it goes.
Fair enough. Yeah, I've had a very similar season to you. So I started off game week one pretty well. I got 214K. And then it just went down, like downhill real fast. I was stuck in the millions. I've climbed my way up and I've been recently like focusing on trying to win mini leagues. So that's also helping in terms of me trying to like claw my rank back. So I'm focusing on this very specific mini league, which I won last season. And the guy had a 100-point lead about like 6, 7, 8 game weeks ago. I clawed it to about 70 points. Then he took it back up to like 90 points. Then I took it back again to 70, and now after this week it's gone down to about 53 or something. So 53 with I've got the wildcard and bench boost left. He has triple captain and free hit left, so we'll see what happens. A few more weeks to go. I'm hoping I can claw it down. We'll see. But that's kind of helping me in terms of like gaining rank as well. So
fingers crossed. I think it's pretty much reachable, the 50 points. I think given the chips that you have, it can go anywhere.
Yeah, exactly.
Good luck.
Thank you.
But yeah, I think good start is pretty important. I mean, you know, like in last 2 or 3 seasons, I actually had very good start. My worst rank was like 250 or 300K. My worst rank throughout the season. Mm. This time actually I'm facing the music. It's so difficult whenever you just go behind. But anyway, that is in all good so far. So we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, there's still a few more doubles to go. So a lot more variants to come as well. So we'll see how it goes. But let's start in terms of your chip plans. So what chips do you have left? And what's your current chip plan?
So I finished my free hit and triple captaincy already. So right now, I have my bench boost left and also my second wildcard left. So my current plan is to dead end in game week 34, where a lot of people is going to play free hit. And then I'm going to do wildcard in game week 35. And like almost like everyone, I'm going to play bench boost in 37, right? So that's the current plan I have in terms of chief strategy.
Okay, so I guess very similar plans to both of us.
So I have Pickford in my goal right now, who have double game week. And then I have double Arsenal defense.
Yep.
So I have Gabriel, Saliba, and Zabarni from Bournemouth. I'm actually missing to him as of now. And then I have Salah, captain. I have Saka. And I also have Foden and Garnacho as a single game weeker, but I'm planning to sell, you know, at least one of them from here. And then I have Darwin in the front, double game week, and then Solanke, and I also have Haaland.
Yep.
So that's my current Bas team, and in my like you know bench is Dubravka, Palmer, Doherty, and Taylor.
Yep. Fair enough.
Right. Yeah. So my plan so far, I have two free transfers for game week 34. So I plan to sell Foden, and then I'm gonna get one of the double game weekers, and then I also plan to sell Palmer.
Yep.
You know, I mean, I should not do that, but that's the money. Like, I mean, the desired player I'm thinking to get. I think I need to sell Palmer, so that's actually wildcard 35 probably would be beneficial for me.
Yep.
I mean, I don't have much of money tied up with Palmer anyway because I sold him.
Yep.
In between, I got him in my first wildcard, which was at 4.9. You know, but then I had to sell him in between whenever Chelsea was blanking. And then I resold, like you know, bought him. So I think it's okay. But yeah, I think I'm gonna use my two free transfer, and I will have probably one single game weekend, and that's probably Haaland.
Yeah,
that's
fair enough.
At least then I have some.
So we're in very similar situation. So in my team as well, I've got at the moment Dubravka in goal, which will switch to a double game weekend. Then I got Van Dijk, Gabriel, Branthwaite, who went off injured. So we kind of have to wait and see what happens with him. I got Salah. Palmer, Saka, Odegaard. Now Palmer will be benched. I have Garnacho on my bench, who I will sell to a double game maker. And then up front, I've got Darwin, Solanke, and Haaland. I haven't fixed the captaincy yet. I need to think about that, but that is something that I'm looking at. So Haaland will be the only single game maker with Palmer on the bench. And I'll bring. I have two free transfers, and obviously, two double game makers will come in. Which from this conversation, maybe I'll be able to decide which exactly I want to try and get as well.
Who's the goalie you said? Sorry.
I've got Dubravka at the moment, but
okay,
I will switch that to a double game week, most likely
okay.
Henderson, because I'm already tripled up on Liverpool and Arsenal.
Okay, so you have, you said Salah, Darwin.
Darwin and Van Dijk.
Oh, you do have Van Dijk.
Yes.
Okay, you're in good position actually for double game.
Yep.
Makes sense.
So let's actually start with one of the first doubles this week, which is Wolves versus Arsenal.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we're recording this before Arsenal's Champions League. Actually, we're recording this before both Arsenal and City's Champions League games. So they got Bayern this week, and whatever happens there could actually impact Arsenal's season going forward and also the upcoming double game week going forward in terms of how they approach it as well. Because if they do beat Bayern, they've got City just after 35, potentially, if City beat Real Madrid, this is assuming as well. But if they lose, then they've only got the league to focus on, and you're like, okay, maybe they go all guns blazing in the league. So let's start with Arsenal first. Dropped points against Aston Villa. City have the lead now in the league. For the upcoming double, how do you see Arsenal approaching both of their games, and which players would you look to get into your team, either on a transfer or even free hit draft? Let's assume for this case, yeah.
So I mean, I think Arsenal missed a very good opportunity to be, you know, top of the table and probably the league as well, right? So they had a very good chance to go on the top, but it is what it is, and I think regardless of the result, the strategy wise, nothing changed. I would say for Arsenal's perspective, because even if they'd have won the previous game, right, they couldn't afford to lose any of the upcoming games, right? So I think strategy wise, it's going to be all in, right? You have to win, right? So I just you just expect that City, most especially City, lose the point in somewhere, and also Liverpool as well. But you just play your own game, right? And then if you lose any of the game, then it's completely different ball game, right? Now, the Bayern game is crucial, as you mentioned, that it was a 2-2, but I think Arsenal can give a game to Bayern, right? I mean, probably Bayern is favorite because they're at home.
Well,
but
yeah, that's
it. But I think, you know, like Arsenal is capable of winning the game.
Yeah, this
know?
Isn't
I mean,
the same Bayern team. Yeah.
Exactly, exactly. I mean, Bayern Munich is also not in the best shape, right? They are not like the previous Bayern, right? And Arsenal are doing good, right? I mean, especially the defense, they are probably the best defense right now, I mean, across the world, right? Definitely the best defense in the league, right? So I think, like even if they win, whatever the result they're gonna have in the next game versus Bayern, strategy-wise, it's gonna be all the same, I think. And I think one of the positive things is that most of their players are coming fit, right? I think most of them are coming back, right? So that will help them. I mean, it's not good for the FPL manager, but it's good for Arsenal. So yeah, I think, in terms of assets, I think to me, I mean, basically it's one of the best teams, right, in the double game week. So you have to have triple up, right? So to me, Saka and Gabriel are locked. These are the two players. I don't think, I mean, people should really think of going different. At least, that's what I think, because Saka, the talisman, he's on penalties, although he is limping in every game, but he's going to start, right? Even if he's half fit, right? And Gabriel, the goal threat, as we know, right? So I think even in the last 10 game weeks or so, Arsenal, Saka and Gabriel are in the top two, or one of the top three players, right? So these two players are locked in. Now, the third position is either Kai Havertz, if you go with two attackers, right? And it can be Odegaard as well, or it can be one of the defenders. If you think that, because Arsenal's defense is good, they have the highest clean sheet potential for game week 34. So if you want to go with that, I think that's a valid strategy as well. So I think I prefer White more, like Ben White more than Saliba or Raya, just because of the upside, right? Because I mean, even
Assist
though
and
he
all.
was subbed off in the last game, it was because he got the yellow card. It's not like that. And also like Tomiyasu can be a good deputy too, right? But Ben White actually started last 15 games for Arsenal. So I expect him to start again. So I think Ben White is from the defense, but I prefer Kai Havertz over Ben White slightly, like 60-40. And the third position, that's because of the upside and that's because of his recent form. He's the number nine, and Arsenal is capable of like scoring six goals, five goals. We saw that, right, against the weaker side. And their opponents are not the best, although it's those are away games. So yeah, I think Saka, Gabriel, and then Kai and White, 60-40 for me.
Fair
That's the
enough.
order.
I think so now I've got Odegaard in there, and if I didn't have Odegaard, and if I had like a transfer to burn, I would have switched probably Odegaard to Kai Havertz, just because I feel like that upside is there. The one thing with Odegaard is I know he'll have more minutes, just because like captain, and if for some reason Saka is off the pitch, then he's next in line for penalties. That's the only thing. But Kai Havertz is the one who's ending on like he's getting on the end of all of this. Now, Odegaard is the one who's like doing, he does the hockey assist or he does the actual assist with Odegaard. He dictates play, but he's not always on the end of like the goals or anything. That's most likely Kai Havertz in this situation. I agree with Saka and Gabriel. I think they are like kind of you want to have them. And depending on where you go in terms of like Havertz or Ben White, I think it also could depend on like in terms of whether you're chasing rank and all. If you're chasing rank, I would probably look to go for the attacker because that's at the moment the more against the template type pick. Because a lot of the template is like double Arsenal defense. So if you can go against a template, and you win, then you're looking good. Especially in a double game week, if Arsenal, obviously we're told best defense in the league, but if they tend to lose their clean sheets in both games, and your attacker does well, you've got a huge gain over there. Whereas the ceiling for the defenders is not as high. It's like just we're looking at 6 pointers like every week basically at this point. Whereas Havertz could go from a 2-3 pointer or even a 14 pointer possibly. So that's the reason.
Absolutely. I mean, that's the advantage of free hit, right? So it's the same thing. Like I have Arsenal double defense. I mean, if I would be in free hit, I would go with one of the attacker. And one thing you brought up, like Odegaard, because of the experience, and I think we should discuss about the fixture congestion that Arsenal have, right? They played Sunday against Villa, And it was a very draining game, right? Because they were losing. They couldn't afford subbing off like Saka or Kai Havertz. They had to play 90 minutes, right? As you see, Saka usually gets subbed off early, but he couldn't, Arteta couldn't do it. And then the Bayern game on Wednesday. And then again on Saturday, they're going Wolves, that's an away game. And then again on Thursday. So that's the, sorry, not Thursday, Tuesday.
It's Chelsea,
So
yeah.
Sunday, Wednesday, Saturday, Tuesday, the worst possible turnaround you can think of, right? Now, I mean, I think even though Saka, Kai Havertz, those will start, at least I can think of, if this gets subbed off, that will probably because they are way ahead, and that's probably good because you expect those players are probably involved with the return. But if they're trailing, then I don't think Saka or Kai Havertz will be subbed off. It could be someone else. Even we saw Odegaard subbed off yesterday,
Yeah,
right?
I feel
Versus
like
Villa.
yeah that I feel like that Odegaard subbing off versus Villa was a bad move because he was dictating play for Arsenal, and as soon as he got subbed off, they lost. They Aston Villa conceded both, I mean, scored both goals, and yeah, because there were so many balls he played in for Havertz, for Saka and all. He played in some really good passes. He was dictating play, and I was like, as soon as he came off, I was like, yeah, that's it.
Completely.
Yeah.
Completely. Every ball was going through him. He
Yep.
was really good. That's what I saw. And Arsenal actually they conceded goal because of their blunder in the
Yes, the
defense.
defense.
Usually they don't concede. But I mean, again, he started off the first goal. All of them were covering the first bar, but while Bailey was opening the second bar. So I mean, it is what it is. I think if they concede, it's because they did some blunder in the defense. It's not like opponent team really got a very good chance,
Yeah.
created a lot of chance. It doesn't happen much. Even they actually shut off City. So yeah, I mean, we'll see. But again, I agree with I would go with either Kai Havertz or Odegaard just because of the ceiling there.
Fair enough. All right, let's move over to Wolves. Now, two goals from Cunha from his return from injury, which probably now makes him a very tempting player to get. I think a lot of people on free hit will probably look for him now. Hoang also got some minutes off the bench, but Ennouri is still not to be seen. Now, they have Arsenal and Bournemouth in the double. Are there players we can invest in? And I think you have Ennouri in your team?
No, I
No, you don't
don't.
have
I
Ennouri.
don't.
Okay. So, if you
I
had
couldn't
Ennouri,
actually.
yeah, if you had him, what would you do?
If I would have had him, I would actually start him.
Okay.
Just hoping that he start. Because I think the first game is against Arsenal, but the second game is versus Bournemouth. That's a money game. Okay, I think for itinerary especially. Okay, so I mean, it's bad that he was not in the squad. So that means you, I mean, it's concerning. Although, Wolves fan, FPL Black Wolf, right?
Yeah.
He's a very good account to follow for Wolves, news and everything. And I saw that his itinerary should be good for game week 34. But again, whenever people are not in the squad, you cannot expect that he's gonna come right away and then start, right? But again, versus the Bournemouth game, you might expect. So I would not buy him for free 34, to be honest. But if I would have had him, just if I would not been free yet, I would just take a chance because of the Bournemouth game, right? That's I would say. But I think they actually have good turnaround. So they are playing Saturday, and then on Wednesday, while Arsenal was playing on Tuesday, right? But they have actually Wednesday versus Bournemouth, so which is good actually. At least I think he's gonna probably get more time to recover, hopefully, at least, even if he starts from the bench in the versus Arsenal. But the only player actually I can consider, I can think of consider, just Cunha, right? I mean, he started, and again, as per FPL Black Wolf, I think he's gonna start both the games. I think at least Wang came off from the bench, but again, I would not take risks. If you have him, it's good, fair enough, you start him, but I would not take risks, to get him. And the same thing with Sarabia as well. If you have him, hold him, just let him. He's good too. But I wouldn't buy anyone except Cunha
Yeah, fair enough.
in the free hit.
Yep, because in a double game week, you want players who have good assurance of minutes,
Oh yeah,
ideally.
absolutely.
Yep.
You don't want Darwin or
Yeah, I
Jota
have Darwin
getting
now. I'm stuck with
35
him,
things.
but yeah. at this moment, you want
No, I mean,
players
yeah.
who like good assurance. Now, even Darwin is no longer good assurance of minutes. I won't expect him to start.
Yeah.
I'm out of the two. I'm thinking he's going to be benched for one, definitely. But yeah,
Well, 120 minutes to be fair,
yeah,
probably
exactly.
out of 2 games. So.
Okay, so we touched on Liverpool. Let's actually go to Liverpool. Now, two away games in Fulham and the Derby against Everton. And Everton just got peppered as well against Chelsea. I don't know what. That's a bit of an outlier, I feel like, for Everton. But anyways, with the form Liverpool have been in and also coming after a loss against Palace and currently, I think, 3-0 down again in the Europa against Atalanta, what do we expect from Liverpool and what players would you look to get?
So I think it's the same situation like Arsenal, right? So nothing has changed except now they're trailing, right? Now they have to just expect City or Arsenal lose the point. But again, in terms of strategy, the Klopp is going after this season, right? So the players is going to give their best shot. So let's first talk about the Atlanta game. So they are 3-0 down, but Liverpool is pretty much capable of coming back. They did this in the past, right? So I think it's an away game on Thursday, but I think Klopp is going to start with full strength, and usually, the first goal, the timing of the goal will be very important to get the momentum. If they get very early goal, it's going to be it's game on, right? But in this type of game, the risk also is people teams get concede the goal because the counter-attack as well, which may happen. And in that case, if they are down 4 or 5 nil, Klopp might just you know
He'll
what is
throw it,
done. So give the rest to the key players for the weekend game. So that may very much happen as well. But yeah, we'll see. But again, their fixture is very cramped as well. I mean, it's again Thursday and then Sunday, then Wednesday and then Saturday. So again, only 2 days gap in each of these. Now they're playing versus Everton and Fulham, and as you said, that Everton is probably it was probably an outlier today, to be honest. At least I feel, because their defense was at least expected. Underlying data was they were actually good, I would say. At least in this season. But again, Everton and Fulham in their home, they are front footing, right? So they will be actually, at least, I mean, so far that's what we see, right? At least attacking wise, they will be trying to give a good show to their audience, to their fans, okay? Which is good for Liverpool's attack as well, because in that case they can get counter attack, and then it's good for Diaz, Salah, and likes of Darwin as well, right? Because that actually suits Liverpool well, I would say, right? That strategy. So, but again, I think there is a more variability in terms of choosing player from Liverpool than Arsenal, because now only Salah is locked, right? While as I was saying, for Arsenal is Saka and Gabriel is locked, but for Arsenal, for Liverpool, I think only Salah is locked you can think of. The next player I'm leaning towards is Luis Diaz, and that's actually probably going to be one of my transfer for game week 34. Just because of the upside, and he was decent as well. He's not as injury prone as Darwin or Jota, right? And I expect him at least 120, 130
His form is
last
also
minute.
good.
Although Jota is exactly, he had the highest expected point in last 10 game weeks amongst all the players in Liverpool. Okay. So that's another thing as well. So I prefer Luis Diaz as the next option. Again, the third option, it can be one of the defenders. So it can be Van Dijk, as you have for the X minutes. Now, Trent became an option all of a sudden just because of Bradley Beal got injured exactly on time. But I'm really not sure if Trent is going to start both games, because Gomez can be a very good deputy in the right-hand side. But still, the upside is there, right? So I think that's one of the advantages of free hit, that he can probably go with Trent as a third option. I would probably prefer Van Dijk. I prefer experience, but Trent is a very good shout as well. And then Darwin. I felt other forwards option that we have, they can very well match Darwin. So in that case, you can actually use other slot for Liverpool. At least that's what I think. And I didn't actually. I've been having traveling for a long time, and I didn't have actually good experience, to be honest. So that's probably kind of I'm a little bit that's why I'm probably a little bit skeptical about traveling, probably. But again, his underlying has been always there, right? Even in the last game, he could have scored, right? Then I would have said different things, right? He could have scored that.
I was this close to like greatness from Darwin, because there was the corner that Van Dijk headed down, and then Darwin just hit it straight at Henderson. I was like, I could have had a Van Dijk assist and a Darwin goal, and I would be laughing here. But here we are now with no clean sheet and no Darwin goal. But yeah.
Yeah, and exactly. I mean, Van Dijk also like could haul, and that's the thing with Darwin. Like the other options that you had, like Watkins or Isak, like those were single game, and we sold or we didn't go over there just because we thought Darwin could be a good option since we were not free in free hit 34, right? And it completely went south, like north and south, right? Because Watkins
Exactly.
had consecutive returns. Isak actually even on fire. He had 37 points in last 4 games. I mean, nine plus points per game, right? So, but anyways, it is what it is. So I didn't have good experience. But anyways, I think Van Dijk or Trent is a good option. Another name I'd like to mention, McAllister. So that's a good shout. He had been in form as well. Whenever Endo is playing, actually that kind of gave him license to go up front. And that's where we also see he's started getting some return. And in case Salah is being subbed off early, then he's on penalty as well. So I think I don't mind with McAllister, to be honest. So
What about Jota?
Jota is again upside pick, but the experience that we had in double game 25 is not the best, right? So usually, like one of my learnings in this season, I mean, this season has been like full of injuries, right? And one of my learnings is that season is try to avoid this type of player, to be honest. Even though they have upside, I mean, yeah, it's only 1 game week, which is okay. But if for the medium to long term, these players give headache, to be honest. And there might be, you might have some other plans, but because of the injury, all of the plans just, completely become shattered. So, but anyway, it's a good upside pick. If anyone is in faith, want to go for differential, can go for it. I would prefer Luis Diaz over him, even McAllister over him as
Fair
well,
enough.
just because of experience. And,
Okay, we'll see what happens. Then the next one is, I guess, Everton. Now, again, like we mentioned, probably an outlier because they're not usually this bad. And I felt like a few careless mistakes, unfortunately, but it's at home again for them. Two home games as well, add to that. One against Forest and the other against Liverpool. Now, the Forest one is what I was looking forward to as a Brentford owner. Now, I kind of have to wait and see whether he's injured or fit or not. We'll have to wait and see what Sean Dyche says later in the week. But apart from him, are there any other Everton players that you can look to maybe get in on a transfer or even a free hit draft?
I think as I mentioned before, like their defense actually looked good throughout the season. I mean, yeah, they considered goals, but underlying data wise, it's not really that bad, to be honest. And that's why actually I got picked for in game week 32. Whenever I had one free transfer, I didn't have Neto, so I didn't have any double game week goalkeeper. So I went with Pickford. So I think, as you said, Nottingham Forest is the money game, right? Because that's the home game as well. So I think one of the transfer I can think of is Pickford, even if the free hit as well, unless you go with Henderson. So that's another option too as well, right? So it's kind of a combination between the Palace and Everton, actually, which one you go with, right? But Pickford is one shout. And then Brentwood was actually another enabler. But again, it's like unfortunate for the owner, right? But for free hit, I would actually look for Tarkowski or Mykolenko as well, right? If you and again, it's basically if you go with the triple Palace, you're going to come with Palace, and if you go with Henderson, then you may think of getting one of the like Everton defenders, or like if you go with Pickford, then you can think of another Palace defender that would come. And another shout is probably McNeil, in the midfield. Although I feel in the midfield slot there are several other better options, but McNeil is a good shout too. He was consistent amongst the Everton players. And then Calvert-Lewin always gets chances. His underlying is good,
Yeah,
like
but injuries
experience-wise
and
and injury-wise. He can be in the team, but he'll not be in the main
yeah.
eleven. He'll be always in the bench for me. So, but again, if you have him,
Yeah,
just
fair
play him.
enough. I think Everton defense is probably worth looking into. It's just midfield and the attack. Not because the defense is good, but the attack still tends to like struggle to like convert chances. That's the one problem that I have with them.
Yeah, exactly. And that because, I think because of their forward line as well, because
Yeah.
Clive, Calvert-Lewin missed a lot of chances too. His XG is always close to 1 or 0.9, but he missed chances, so they cannot convert, so.
Fair enough.
Or they could not convert at least, so, yeah.
Okay, let's go to Crystal Palace. Quite a few options that many managers are probably looking to get either on a transfer also or on a free hit draft. They also have two home games against West Ham and Newcastle. Are you looking at any Palace players to get, or who would you recommend?
Yeah, so I think Palace have the best fixture in terms of in the double game weekers, two home games. Newcastle concede a lot, right? Although they avoid conceding against Spurs, but again, they in general they have been leaky, and West Ham all are also conceding chances as well. So I think Palace options are really exciting and. That's where I think free hitters are gonna get advantage as well. But in terms of transfer, the first name always, I think Eze is gonna get Eze, because he scored a goal already last week. He is on penalty, right? So I think Eze is the first out, and then second, we already talked about Henderson. So and he already got Henderson too, and I think a lot of free hitters also are gonna get Henderson. And I think there's some recency bias too, because in last game they
They
got
kept a
like in a
clean
clean
sheet.
sheet versus Liverpool at Anfield, right? So there are those things there as well. But Henderson and also Munoz or Mitchell, I like Munoz a lot, to be honest. So if you go with Pickford, I think I would prefer
Who knows?
Munoz to be in the defender. So as I said, like Everton and Palace are kind of like switching the position in terms of whoever you pick, right? But I like Munoz or Mitchell. And then I like Mateta in the forward line. He's been starting all the games, at least in last more than 10 games or so. And then he actually got chances as well versus Liverpool, right? So he was number 9. And then I think, as I said,
What do you say?
Newcastle have been leaky. Olise, I'm gonna come to
Okay,
Olise.
we'll get to
Olise
that.
is a very, very good shout, but it's just I feel like they also have Sunday Tuesday turnaround.
Yeah, okay.
It's only 2 days gap. So Olise is a very good shout, and definitely free hitters can think of. And Olise is like intellectually he's pretty good. I think
Yeah.
I he's better than Eze. It's just his injury and his
Yeah,
minutes
okay.
is a little bit tricky, but upside is there. So I think he's a good shout. If you can accommodate five midfielders with Olise, then one shout I can think of is that you go with double Arsenal defense or double Liverpool defense. Okay. In that case, you'll have one slot open in the midfield because Salah, Saka, and then we say Eze, right? So these three. And then another shout was Luis Diaz, right? We just mentioned, right? Now, if you want to sacrifice one of the Luis Diaz or Kai Havertz, you can bring Olise here, and then probably one of the defenders could be from Arsenal or Liverpool. So that could be another school of thought or another strategy, right? So if you think Olise has upside, he has upside. It's just however you balance your team, right? So we cannot defeat all of them. So,
Fair
but
enough.
yeah, I like it. I like it. I like him over Darwin, even, to be honest. So.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah. He's a very exciting player, will you say? And also
Yep, he
capable
is.
of like that banger shot from like outside the 30-yard box kind of shot. Yeah.
He is. And he's on set pieces too, so and if somehow Eze goes off, then he might be on.
Eze has he's tended to get like subbed off at about the 75th mark I've seen in the last couple of games for him, Eze. So I won't be surprised if that happens again because you mentioned the shots and that. Yeah.
And yeah, both of these players are injury prone.
Yeah, that's
Okay.
the thing.
So their minutes are being managed. You know, I mean, these are key players, so you cannot afford playing them 90 minutes like you know now. So
yep, fair enough. But obviously, at least one of them will make my team. At the moment, maybe leaning towards Eze because I have the money to do it. But Olise is also a very tempting player for me as well because I just like watching him. He's like a very exciting player to watch.
Very exciting.
Okay, now, apart from Palace, the final two teams who double are Bournemouth and Sheffield United. Now, I'm assuming managers who aren't free hitting probably already have the Bournemouth players that they want and are not looking to get any new ones. And then Sheffield United, I don't really know if anyone is looking into Sheffield United. Maybe on FPL Challenge, but not. I don't know if they're looking into a real one. But where would you go for these two teams?
So I think in the free hit, people are going to get Solanke. You know, like, I mean, people who are, we are not free hitting, so we are carrying Solanke for a while.
Yes.
And that's the only player you can think of, to be honest, just to get, I mean, if you think of transfer, right? But like a lot of people have like Neto as a goalkeeper, or like me, I have Zabarni.
Yes.
Right? So, and like their clean sheet potential is even, like, although they have two games, but their clean sheet potential is even lower than some of the single game makers like City or even Man United, right?
Yes.
So, I mean, I don't expect clean sheet from like for the Bournemouth any of the games. So
yeah.
Only Solanke. For Sheffield United, I think there are some options, or at least I can say two options. Maybe
yeah.
One of them is like Ben Diaz. So he, I think he joined in 2021 or so, and he started all the games.
Yeah, I think he's a midfielder.
Yeah,
though.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, exactly. He's in the midfielder. So that's another thing, right? We don't have much of options there.
Yeah.
But again, I mean, some people actually went early with him, just probably enabling, you know, whenever whoever had Garnacho, they actually moved from Garnacho to like Sarabia or like Diaz, like, you know, Diaz, like Ben Diaz. So he's one of them. And another one is, I think, Hummer, I think. He was also like midfielder as well. So he started all of the game. But again, the upside is not much. So those are the two options I can think of, but I really go with them.
Yep.
So yeah, just Solanke out of these teams.
Okay. Now, if you have learned anything this season from previous double game weeks, is that the single game week players shouldn't be ignored. So are there any single game week players you would like to mention, either on a transfer or even a free hit?
Not in a transfer, not in a free hit.
Okay.
But I mean, because, you know, you expect, or you should get double game players. All of them, we are like, you know, we have this mindset. But if you have any of these single game week players, I think you hold and actually even you can play. For example, like, you know, City, as I mentioned, right, that the clean sheet potential for City is even way more higher than like teams like Palace, right? So, not Palace, yes, sorry, Bournemouth, right? Palace actually have a high clean sheet potential. So, even if you have like Guardiola, you can start. You
can exactly.
Start Haller. And Brighton actually couldn't post even more than one XG.
They haven't created big chances in a long time.
Yeah, this team is not being functional. They have some injury issues and a lot of things going on in this team. So I think City's like Haaland or Guardiola is a good shout.
Yeah.
And then Watkins versus Bournemouth, right? It's a home game. And the form that Watkins is in, I mean, he can again have like a haul. So not like, you know, but again, I think if you have him, just hold him and starting.
Yeah.
And I think Bruno Fernandes or Garnacho, I mean, those who don't have any feet or anything, like if you have any of these players, good to start at Sheffield United at home because Sheffield United costs a lot of chances. So, I think those are the players we can think of.
Fair enough. You mentioned City defense. Now, because of the Brandtwaite injury that I have, if he's out, I probably might not like remove him to get another double gimmick player because I would have to look at either a Wolves defender, which is Ed Nouri, we're not sure in terms of his minutes. I'm already going for a Palace defender in my goalkeeper. And also, if I was to remove Brandtwaite, it'll have to be for a hit. And then I'm going, I don't want that. So I probably might, I have Rico Lewis on the bench. I might even start Rico Lewis potentially. And just like, against
if
Brighton.
He starts, if you have any league, that he's starting.
Yeah, that's the thing.
But yeah, it's the same situation for me. I mean, I have Zavarni. I'm gonna play him because like Heat, I feel like it's not gonna be worth it, you know.
Yeah. So
so yeah.
Fair enough. Okay, now let's end it with captaincy, because I think this week, I don't know if there's a standard option. Maybe still people might like lean towards Salah and all, but who are you putting the armband on and who are the other candidates for captaincy?
I think I'm gonna put the armband on Cole Palmer.
Oh, I get asked.
No, I'm kidding. Yeah, I mean, this guy is in super form. Like, you know, 20.
Just a quick question before we go to the captaincy. Cole Palmer, now 26 points today. And I'm looking to bench him this coming week.
I'm looking to sell him. So okay. I can think of myself, right? So.
Is there a consideration maybe that we should probably start him even though, but then it's Arsenal defense, right? That's the thing.
No, it's Arsenal defense. Yeah. I mean, Chelsea is not very like stable team either, right? One day they score six or like four goals and
yeah.
they struggle. So it's just Cole Palmer show. And sometimes, you know, if Jackson converts some chances, then it's there. Then today was that kind of day,
yes.
To be honest. Right. So I don't think it's going to happen in the next game. But you never know. Cole Palmer is in different level. Right?
Yeah.
So it's hard to comment. So.
He's competing for the golden boot now. So it's a different story.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay. Captaincy. So where are you leaning?
I think Salah, I mean, you know, that's probably the easy answer. But again, it's not straightforward, as you mentioned, right? So there can be a lot of things going on, like minutes might be managed, right? So the fixture congestion is there. But still, I think I'm going to go with Salah just because of the like upside he has. I don't think I'm going to go with Saka, although, I mean, he's another candidate, I would say. But I think Eze probably is even better shot, I guess. Because Eze's fixture is good, but again, if he's also subbed up early,
yeah,
then you never know. So I am actually hesitant to, like, you know, go with the captaincy with the mediocre team,
yeah,
unless only those team, you know, are double game makers, right? But we have now like teams like Liverpool and Arsenal, which are like, you know, good attacking side. You know, title contenders, they have, like, they are more hungry, right? So they have something to fight for. So that's why I think either it's going to be either between Salah or Saka, and Salah is ahead of Saka from me.
Yep, fair enough. I think for me, I'm slightly flipped. I'm on, like, Saka, and the reason I'm on Saka is because of the mini league chasing, because everyone's going to go Saka.
Yeah, okay.
So I need someone who's different from the, because eventually I have to start taking risk if I want to like try and catch up points from a mini league perspective. So this is one of those weeks where I'm willing to potentially take that risk. Because the teams that Liverpool are facing, both Everton and Fulham, they're not really the easiest teams as well to face. So I'm wondering, because Salah, I mean, Liverpool as a team, so far form hasn't been as great as well. They're kind of missing chances. Maybe I'm just like writing narratives in my head, but I don't know. We'll see. I might change perspective depending on how the European games go as well, because I feel like that might, if there's injury somewhere, or if, let's say, for example, Salah plays a full 90 minutes in against Atalanta as well, potentially I might switch. I might just still stick on Saka, but we'll kind of wait and see. But yeah, that's where I'm currently leaning towards. If I had Havertz, I would have gone fully differential and might have thought about it, but I don't have Havertz, so I'm not going there.
No, glad that you brought this up. So I think I was going to say, like, you know, just outside of the box, as a differential, Kai Havertz would be the option.
Yep.
And today, actually, I was asking, like, you know, my buddy, FPL Kante, and I asked him, he's on feed, and I said, okay, who will be your captain? He actually said, maybe Kai Havertz. And I feel like, yeah, that's a very good shout, actually. But people actually had bad experience with Kai Havertz before several times. So, again,
it's a very good shout. Yeah. Which, when he was at Chelsea, I think.
Actually, two times.
Yeah.
Two times, actually, it happened. So.
Yep. Fair enough.
But yeah, I think it's a very good shot.
Yeah.
So.
Cool. All right. Now, before we kind of wrap it up, there were a couple of questions from the community. And I'll start with FPL Paz. Double Arsenal attack or double Arsenal defense on a non-free hit 34? Ooh.
I think we kind of covered a little bit on that. And as I mentioned, I think both of us said that, right, that we would prefer Kai Havertz because Saka and Gabriel is locked. So then third option,
double the Arsenal attack.
Yeah. So I think I would go with double Arsenal attack just because of the upside.
Yep. Fair enough, same. And then my Cayman fan, Matt. So he basically said for a free hit 34 team, what are your thoughts on going for differentials like Huang and Hammer? I guess Hammer was the Sheffield United player you mentioned. And then Huang, we also covered.
So, again, I would not go with Huang, to be honest. I mean, as you said, right? He came from the bench in the last game week. So we don't know, actually, if he's going to start or not. But again, follow FPL Black Wolves. He actually gives very good insight in terms of Wolves. And usually those are very much spot on, to be honest. I mean, you know, it's based on the history. So if he thinks or if he feel like Huang is starting, it's a very good shout. He's on, well, it's also very difficult to find out he's on penalties for Wolves. But I don't mind it. But Sheffield United, I feel there are, I mean, free hit itself is differential thing, right? Because you are playing like, you know, free hit. And then I don't think you have to, like, you know, bring differential options just for the sake of it. There are a lot of, like, Olise is a very good shout too. Olise, Kai Havertz, Odegaard, there are good options from good teams.
Yeah.
Right? Even McLean is there too. I think McLean is better. Right? So I felt like...
Go ahead.
Yeah. Even Diaz is better than Hammer, I'd say.
Yeah, yeah.
They have Burnley. So I would probably, if he really wants to go with differential from Sheffield United, I think I would go with Ben Diaz from Sheffield United.
If you're looking for differentials, I feel like just go with players who are still good minutes assured from good teams. There are still a lot of different options from that the template doesn't have. So yeah, probably go leaning towards more the minutes secured players. Because even Cunha at this point is a differential as well, to be honest.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So cool. That's basically it. Thank you for your time today. Do you have anything to plug?
So as you mentioned, I'm one of the co-hosts of FPL Under the Radar. So right now we don't have, we're not doing much of videos, but we were continuously posting our contents on Twitter. People can follow us at Radar FPL, RADARFPL, where we post content, mostly charts and graphs based on data. So we are very much heavily, you know, data oriented, but we also do, like, you know, contest related to, like, macro micro strategies. So yeah, just follow us on Twitter to get up to the contest from us. So
indeed, very useful graphs I've seen. Yeah. So very helpful for anyone who's looking to try and, like, get double gaming players or look at teams in terms of XG versus XGC, stuff like that. So go follow them on Twitter. And obviously your Twitter handle is on the video as well. And that's it, basically. So you can also find me, Football Chatbox, on YouTube, where I do weekly videos and deadline streams. And that's it for this week's Scout the Game Week. I'll be back during maybe Game Week 34, Double Game Week 34, and looking ahead to Game Week 35, Green Aerosol.